or if you feel the Spirit of the Lord is urging you to give and to satisfy some of the needs of the people who may call in, you can call 882-7360. It's my hope and my prayer that when people call in and express their needs, and people call in and say, yes, I want to fulfill my Christian duty and give as the Lord commanded me, it is my hope and prayer that we can, there at the house, match up the needs with the givers, and that people can begin receiving on both ends. Of course, the receivers, the ones who have the needs, would be receiving those things of which they have need of, the food or the clothing or the shoes or whatever they have need. And then the Christians who give would receive that spiritual blessing as they lay up treasures in heaven. And I'd just like to stress this morning that I wish that nothing would pass through my hands. But I wish that I'd just start getting calls and say, hey, Brother David, I got somebody come by my house and just brought the things that I had need of today. And I just wish I'd just start getting calls and good reports, because it is the good reports that keep the Christian life fulfilled, and it keeps the Christian going, and it gives them strength, because the joy of the Lord is a Christian's strength. And when you start getting calls and say, hey, God has supplied my needs, hey, that is a Christian's joy and a Christian's strength. Today we're going to begin a message. The Lord has been speaking to me to speak on idols. throughout this land, and I mean across the nation, across the world, things are happening because the devil knows that his time for going into hell approaches real quickly. Because for 1,000 years, when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, but then he'll be loosed for a little season, and afterward, cast into the fiery furnace of hell. And he knows his time is coming real short, and his reign and his regime is coming to an end, and he is throwing out every tool, every weapon that he can to bring down the church and to bring down the Christian people. Like I mentioned at the church during the revival this week, the devil is trying every trick in the book, and he's trying to tear down the church and tear down the people, because the war that started before the earth was even formed is still going on today. The devil was cast out of heaven. God, when he tried to take over God's throne, God cast him out, and cast him out of his position, and gave that position of the archangel to Michael. But the devil still wants to war with God, and he's not going to give up until he tries and takes every Christian that he can to the pits of hell with him. And I want to tell you today that this message comes as a warning to the Christian people that's hearing today. It comes as a warning that we need to set our mind on what we're doing and get our mind on the Word of God and on the will of God. We need to bring our flesh into subjection under the Word of God. We need to bring every action that we do and line it up with the Word of God. This message is not going out to tear down anybody's beliefs or to tear down anybody's faith, but it's going forth that the Christian people might have a tool and a warning to fight the devil with, that they might be warned and that they might have something to rebuke the devil. The Bible says if we resist the devil, then he will flee from us. And if we're warned that he's there or he's coming, and we're given a tool by God to fight the devil with, my friend, you don't have to live with the devil on your back 7 days a week. There is no place in the Bible, there is no scripture in the Bible to where it says the devil was on the backs of the people. Because, I mean, I hear messages, I hear people come into church and they say, oh, the devil's been on my back all week long. And I tell you what, if they can show me scripture and verse where the devil's supposed to be doing that to them, then I'll believe it. But until they can, I'll keep quoting where the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, because the Bible clearly says that, and I know that to be true. But we're going to begin a message today on idols. And if everybody will turn to Exodus chapter 20, we'll begin reading in verse 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, before I continue reading, let me say that this is out of the Old Testament, and it was spoken to the children of Israel under Moses. And a lot of people say that the Old Testament is something that we really don't need to look at anymore because it doesn't apply today. But my friend, even though the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, my friends. the Bible, God said in His Word that His Word would not pass away. Even after heaven's gone, even after the earth is gone, the Word of God will stand the acid test. It will continue to stand no matter what the devil does. The Word will always stand. And it does apply today. Even though the children of Israel have come out of Egypt and out of the house of the bondage in Egypt, that applies today, my friend, because Christians, when you sat down on the altar or you got on your knees and you prayed to the Lord and you said, "Jesus, come and be my Savior," my friend, Jesus saved you out of the grip of the devil. You were brought out of a house of bondage, my friend. It wasn't Egypt, but it was the hand of the devil, my friend. And this scripture does apply. It says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." My friend, God is a jealous God. My friend, when He saved you, when you said your sinner's prayer and God wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, my friend, that's a promise. When God wrote your name down, that's a promise that when the day comes that we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're judged according to our works, my friend, when your name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you shall be saved, the Bible says. You won't be cast into that fiery furnace. It's the reward of the wicked, my friend. And when you get saved and when God writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's a promise that He will save you from the destruction of hell. He will save you from the fiery furnace. It's a promise that we shall be saved, the Bible says. But, my friend, I should also warn you that even though God promised that thing, even though God promises, the Bible says you shall be saved, my friend, it's like a contract that can be broken on either side. My friend, the Bible says we shall be judged according to our works, and that comes before He looks in the books, in the Word of God. And Jesus reserves the right to blot the name out of the book of life. And we'll do a teaching on that later. I don't feel that we should continue in that right now, but I should mention that we need to strive and work for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do the work of God so that we can be found worthy when we stand before God's throne to be saved from that judgment that's going to come upon the world and upon men that are not saved. But let's continue here in Exodus chapter 20. The Bible records that God told the people that they should have no other gods before me, saith the Lord. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation that hate me. My friend, this week I have seen how when people turn away from God, and not completely, they still claim that they're religious folk, and they still claim that they have a commitment to God, but they've turned away from God in their heart. They've turned away from Him. And my friend, it continues on, because I've seen their children, I've seen the children follow after their ways and follow after the things that they're doing. And my friend, if it doesn't stop, the children will also turn away from their God. My friend, the Bible says that when you train up a child, that when he is old, he will not depart from those ways that you've taught him. I mean, if you train up a child and you say, you teach him to go to church, you teach him to tithe, you teach him to be faithful to God, you teach him to have faith, my friend, that child will be a faithful child to God. He will have the faith, and he will do the good works that the Lord wants us to do. But if you teach that child that, well, you go one, that when you leave the house of God, you can turn back to your evil ways, be a Sunday saint and an everyday devil, my friend, those children will listen to that. And even if you don't say it, what's the old saying? A child will do what they see and not what they're told. My friend, we need to stand up in this last day so that our children of the next generation will not turn back and go following after the devil and his ways. Well, let's turn over to, Deuteronomy chapter 7, we'll start with verse 1. Let me turn over there real quick. When the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, God brought them into a new land. And my friend, that's like a Christian walk. When God brought you out of that life of sin, He brought you into a new land. He brought you into a land where you're supposed to get rid of the sin in your life. The church was set up, the Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints. And we're supposed to be getting rid of the sin that's in our lives. And there in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse 1, the Lord thy God shall bring thee into a land whither thou goest to possess it. My friend, we're supposed to possess this land, that this walk with God that we have. We're not supposed to just say, well, I'll walk in it. No, we're supposed to possess that land. It's supposed to make it ours. And to do that, we need to get the sin out of it. We need to clean it out. Verse 5, God tells His people what to do when they get in that land, because it's corrupt. It's full of heathen. It's full of these idol worshipers. And in verse 5, He says, ye shall deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break their images, cut down their groves and burn the graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. My friend, God chose a people, and He goes on to say He didn't choose them because of their greatness, because they were the least of all people. My friend, when you were out in sin, you were the least of all people, because you had nothing worthy. The Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. But when God saved you, He saved you so that you could be a holy people unto God. And my friend, the Bible says that we're supposed to sanctify our body. We're supposed to bring it in line with the Word of God. We're supposed to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, just like Jesus died. He died for us. But in return, we're supposed to offer our lives, our bodies, as a living sacrifice to God. And the point that I'm going to make before I close, I'm getting short on time. The point I'm going to make is the idols that exist today are those things that keep you out of the house of God. The idols that exist today are those things that if the service runs too long, you have to leave God's house to go do the things that you want to do. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that right there just puts it in the now, because people are putting things before God. Some fishermen, if they won't even go to church at all, because they'd rather get out on Sunday and go out and fish in the lake. But, you know, some of them I've seen, they do go to church. But what happens? If the time runs too short, the fishing time starts, they get up and they'll leave service. If a person is addicted to something in the world and they physically have to have that thing, they think, whether it's Coke or whether it's cigarettes or whether it's something, my friend, I have seen people get up out of the house of God and go and offer a smoke offering up to their god of nicotine. I mean, they can't live without it. They have to bow down to that cigarette or bow down to that Coca-Cola, or they have to bow down to that thing, leave the house of God to go worship their idol. My friend, we'll get into this tonight. My time is just about up, but we'll get into this tonight, because this is a message that the people need to hear so that they can clean up their lives and follow after the Lord Jesus. Let me make a few announcements before I close. You're invited to come to the Free Pentecostal Church, located in downtown Harriman, Tennessee, up on the hill behind the Robo Car Wash. Regular services are Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Prayer meeting is every night at 7 p.m. And this Sunday night, the gospel praisers from Knoxville will be singing at the church, and everyone is invited to come and enjoy a night of praise and fellowship with us. Well, it's time for me to go, so keep in mind John chapter 4, verse 24, which says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.